Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr. I believe Matt Scraby, if he's around. Matt, can we get rid of this echo that we got going? Can you hear that? No?
I can hear you, yes. I'm trying to get connected to Chris.
Oh, okay. I knew there was something going on. His camera's facing the wrong direction. He's not even...
Oh, so you didn't see my shaking of the head of frustration?
I saw that, too. I could only see your chin because of the way your camera's set up, but I knew something was going on. Anyway, welcome in, Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello will join us, shortly here. A lot going on today. Okay. Padres in action right now, 2-0 after a two-run shot by Jackson Merrill. He continues to have a good spring. I'm told that Mr. Ello is in the building. Christopher, how are you?
Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Long time no chat. How are you? Everything is wonderful here in Las Vegas, and it sounds like everything is fantastic in Peoria as Jackson Merrill homers again. And Scraby and I were talking about this yesterday, and I don't know that the Padres could ask for a more wonderful spring from their young players. I mean, it just continues one after another guy putting in an impressive performance, doing something positive.
Robust is what I called the competition yesterday during the broadcast. And it is. I mean, everybody who is remaining in this race is swinging the bat well. Jackson Merrill, no one's going to say it, but I think he's already etched his spot not only on this roster, but probably in center field as well to at least start the season. And he's, and again, none of this means that it's going to carry over to the season. But in terms of what you wanted to see when you came into spring training, all of those boxes have been checked in the case of Jackson Merrill. But in terms of the competition, everybody has stepped up and done a good job. The young kid Thorpe on the mound right now, his changeup, I'll tell you what, it is something to see. I mean, this is not often you see a guy throwing like 94 with a 10-mile-per-hour difference on his changeup, but throwing his changeup like anytime he wants, and they can't do nothing with it. It has been quite fun to watch him pitch this game today.
Yeah, everybody's calling it a Bugs Bunny changeup, Tony, one of those ones you swing at two or three times. And, yeah, three shutout innings for him today. I mean, you know, I don't know that he's really a legit contender for the rotation this year. But, you know, look, you got to feel good about what we've seen from him, Michael King, Vasquez, Brito, Waldron. I mean, every one of these young starting pitchers has given the Padres reason to believe that they can be in the rotation this year. And, you know, you talked about the hitters. I mean, Graham Pauly or Tyler Wade. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with either guy getting a shot at third base to start the season. They both have deserved it the way they played this spring. And, you know, the only box I would have, you know, wanted to check myself on Jackson Merrill was, you know, is he hitting the ball with authority against good big league pitchers? Because a lot of time in spring, you're playing, you know, minor league pitchers or guys that are at the end of the staff. Well, he checked that box for sure today because his two-run homer was against Zach Gallen, who's only one of the best pitchers in the National League.
Yeah, like I said, he has checked every box that there is to be checked, and again, when we get in the regular season, we'll see how, you know, what that looks like, but I don't know that he could. He has done everything and some that they have asked from him in terms of showing what he can handle, and he's done it. He's done it well. For in terms of the pitching, I mean, yeah, no, I don't think Thorpe is. I mean, a legitimate contender for this rotation right now. But what it does kind of give you, make you excited about, is more depth. I mean, if you're going to need somebody to come up from 3A to make a start, or 2A for that matter, make a start, you know he's got the kind of stuff that can play and that can work. And so you add Walder into that. You add an Avila to that. I mean, you got some depth down there, guys who can help contribute in a way. And, you know, the way the season starts for the Padres, they get to play some fun games with their rotation, right? I mean, they only have to have two starters to start the season, because you play two games and then you're off for a week. And so you pretty much can kind of have your roster how you want it and get away with your first four games, more than likely being able to see your best two pitchers pitch both of all four games.
Right. I mean, Darvish, from what I get, is going to be the opening day guy. Has that been officially announced?
I think it was officially announced yesterday.
So Darvish is going to be official, and I heard that Glass now got announced as the Dodgers opening day guy.
That's correct.
So the opening day game is set. Then you'll get Darvish or Musgrove in the second game. But the other thing is when they come home, Tony, you're right, after a week off, it seems from what I've been reading that they might be leaning toward Musgrove starting the actual home opener in San Diego. So he could do something that very few guys do anymore in Major League Baseball, which is pitch back-to-back games as the starting pitcher. It's like the good old days.
That is a good, a far out, you know, thought, Chris.
Good old days with 7 days or 8 days in between. I mean, it's perfect.
Right.
So,
yeah.
The Padres, I don't know, and it sounds like they're still having, at least that's what's been reported, they're still, you know, checking in on the likes of Tommy Pham and Michael A. Taylor and some of these guys that are thing. But I don't know, at this point, you've gotten some good things out of the players you have on the roster. And so it also seems it's a nice thing to see, you know, Manny, he's starting to swing the bat too. And so we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. We'll know tomorrow what that roster is going to look like, who's going to make it. The decisions have to be made before that flight takes off to Korea.
Well, they did cut a few guys this morning, right, Tony? We're sent back. I know Jacob Marcy got sent back, and a couple of other names that were, you know, in the hunt. So they've trimmed it a little bit. But, I think they had five or six more to go. I think they had 37 on the roster morning.
I think that was after the game yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, that they sent Marcy back down. And he had a good spring. He certainly is somebody that's, you know, he was on the radar. He didn't do anything but, you know, enhance that, I think, with the spring he had, you know, this go-around. So, what else is about? Can we talk a little bit about the Aztecs real quick? I mean, they took out the number two seed.
They're looking good, Tony. I mean, all year long, you know, Stacy Terry Hudson talked about trying to get these kids playing their best, you know, for this tournament, and they have come through in the first two games. I mean, they haven't just won two games, Tony. They have not trailed in either game. And the first game, they jumped out to an 8-0 lead, and San Jose State never really got into the game. Last night, they jumped ahead of New Mexico 13-1, and they never led by less than 7 points in the second half. So that was surprising to me. I did not see that coming. New Mexico is really a really good team, but I knew the Aztecs could beat them if they played well. The Aztecs played really well, and they're coming into tonight's game against Boise State for the semifinal with a lot of momentum and a lot of, you know, a lot of good things. I mean, it's so crazy how two games can vault you from being just one team, you know, a run-of-the-mill team, like you can actually do something in this tournament. Yeah. And that's kind of what's happened. Now, they did have their leading scorer, Adriana Quezada, collided with another player and a diving for a ball with about 4 minutes to go in the game last night. She suffered they thought it could be a fractured cheekbone. But I saw her this morning at breakfast, and I think she's okay. She said she was feeling fine. The doctors were looking at her. I think she's going to be able to play tonight, and that is kind of was a concern. The other concern is even if they beat Boise State, they're going to have to – UNLV is going to be waiting for them in the championship game, and UNLV is winning every game by 50 points. It's absolutely ridiculous right now how hot they are. So, but you take it one at a time. You get a chance in the championship maybe tomorrow night, and, you know – they got to play the game, Tony. You know how it goes. Strange things have happened before.
Yeah, this is the time of year when a lot of strange things happen. So
yeah,
this is
right.
This is a good time for the Aztecs to keep the momentum going. I followed the Instagram account and I saw the score pop up. And I was like, man, that was kind of a beatdown last night. So
They won it handily, and you know, you're excited. I mean, you travel with the team, Tony. You know what it's like, but especially with kids, you know, you see how hard they work and how much they care, and so you feel good for them. You're happy for them, for you know them to have some success at this time of year, and for Stacy Terry Hudson, who's done a, you know, just a great job with the program for 11 years. Her kids are just all exemplary, and I know you've met a lot of them. We've had them in the studio. They're all terrific kids. They all have high grade point averages. They all graduate. They all go on to be doctors and things like that. But she's never had a team get to the championship game at the Mountain West Conference, and she can accomplish that tonight. I think I'd feel great for her as well.
Yeah. Shout out to Stacy Terry and the Lady Aztecs as they continue their quest here to keep going beyond, you know, reach the finals for the first time. We certainly wish them luck. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk some NFL. I mean, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of the moves. And listen, I couldn't help but think that this is what baseball would like to have during an offseason.
Oh, talked about yesterday.
Oh, gee, that sounds like an echo, doesn't it, Scraby?
It does. Remember the
I said that exact thing yesterday, Tony, and I was criticized for it in the chat room. And I'm like, no, this is exactly what everybody wants.
I'm just saying, dude, the NFL free agency reminds me of, like, if you had a tank of piranhas and you dropped, like, an animal in that bad boy, what it looks like.
Like a goldfish.
That's what free agents are. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are just, I mean, the moment they foot touch the water, touch this free agency, there's already an offer out there. There's already contact. And, I mean, we're going to talk about it. For at least, you know, the rest of this week, as more and more people sign, the NFL is going to stay in the league or in the news. And I think as a league, that's what you want. Now, I say that to say, man, there's a lot of people switching up going to the rivals. I can't be mad at it. It's great theater. The script for 2024-5 is going to be, I mean, outrageous. I mean, this is going to be an easy script to write, actually.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley goes from the Giants to the Eagles. He stays in the division. Derrick Henry goes to the Ravens
Baltimore.
To play with Lamar Jackson.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. Wait, real quick. Does anybody feel some type of way about Tiki going at Saquon Barkley? You're dead to me. Does anybody else feel?
Actually heard the audio, and it was kind of a joke.
Oh, okay.
So it was said lighthearted.
See, I got played by the... By the quote masters out there.
The quote masters. Because I did see the picture that you saw, which was Saquon's dead to me. And I was like, man, that's harsh. I went and found the video, and it was more like a jokey joke. But Saquon
how he could get on his case. I mean, free agency is what it is. I mean,
because he's a running or a giant for life. He wanted Saquon to be a giant for life.
Well,
okay, Saquon didn't want to be a giant for life. So,
no.
And when he wanted to be a giant for life, the Giants didn't want to sign him.
Well, that's the major issue, is that the Giants don't want him. So
yeah, they don't want to pay that kind of money. I mean, free agency has been fun, I think, for every team except the Dolphins, Tony. I mean, every time I open up my phone, they've lost another all-pro player to free agency. So they are suffering, but it is great for the National Football League. I mean, Christian Wilkins comes here to Las Vegas, and Pollard goes to the tight. I mean, it's just one after another. The Bengals cut Joe Mixon, and then he gets picked up by the Texans.
About to trade T. Higgins is now he's on the block.
I mean, it's a lot of excitement, and you know, it's the exact kind of buzz that baseball lacks when it comes to their free agency. And you know, Rob Manfred sitting over there, they got to figure out a way to get this kind of excitement because we're talking NFL 2 days before this baseball season's about to start.
maybe it's not as valued in the game of baseball and doesn't need to be. I don't know. It's a weird one, but certainly I couldn't help but think of it as we get closer and closer to the start of the MLB season. The Padres head out to Korea.
I just want to know how you're feeling, Tony, because I know what a great traveler you are. I mean, when it comes to people riding airplanes, you know, it's smooth sailing for you. And you're looking at about a 14-hour flight tomorrow. How are you holding up?
If by smooth sailing you mean terrible,
exactly.
Yes, you are correct, my friend. I'm pretty good. I'm excited to go to a place I've never been before. I get to take my wife, so I'm excited about that. And baseball season is about to start. I can't lie. I'm quite tired of these games that don't count. I'm ready to see the real thing now. Get to go to a new stadium I haven't been to. That's like my favorite thing in baseball.
That is cool.
I can't remember. Jesse's been saying the name of the place, and I can't remember.
That's why Jesse says the name of the place.
I'm gonna stay away from it for now, but I'm gonna have it before the end of the show. All right, let's get to break. I know there's some Aztec awards that were handed out. One though that I was kind of disappointed on, I have to say. We'll talk about it on the other side, more Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are off and rolling for a Tuesday afternoon. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan, once again, a radio show so big, it takes three states to hold us. Matt Scraby is in San Diego at the Odyssey Palace Studios. Chris Ello here in Las Vegas with Aztec basketball. And, of course, Tony Gwynn Jr. with the Padres in Peoria getting ready to head to Korea tomorrow. 14-hour flight awaits, and the Padres will get in there and then have a few days to get acquainted with things, play a couple of exhibition games, and next Wednesday, 3 in the morning, set your alarm clock, everybody. The 2024 Major League Baseball season arrives for real as the Padres will take on the Dodgers, and it will be Yu Darvish against the Dodgers' Tyler Glasnow in the first game. Dodgers announced their opening day starter this morning. We get underway here today. Alden Gonzalez is going to join us, of course, the great ESPN reporter who follows the Dodgers and the Padres, so we'll get some of his thoughts coming up here in about 20 minutes. We have a fantabulous sports game show coming up for you as well in the 3 o'clock hour. Sorry about that, Scrabe, but you have to put your thinking cap on today. And before we get to the coaches in the Mountain West Conference, who today did not vote an All-American as their own conference's Player of the Year. Well, you know what? Never mind before. Let's just get to that. I don't...
Get right to it.
Yeah, let's just get right to it. I don't begrudge the kid from Utah State whose name is Great Osabor. His first name is Great. And I want to say he's a good player. He's a really good player. So I don't want to,
But he's not great.
Well, he's great. I mean, okay. He had a good season. Let's give him, I'm trying to give him his due.
Right.
But I just don't see how Jaden Ledee is not the player of the year from the coaches. Now, the media voted yesterday, or they announced their winner yesterday, and the Mountain West Conference media did go for Jaden Ledee for player of the year. He wasn't a unanimous choice. He got 7 votes. 3 votes went to Darius Brown, who plays for Utah State, and the last media vote went for Osabor. So Osabor only got 1 vote from the media. Yet the coaches voted him the best player in the conference. And the other interesting thing to this, Tony, was that the Utah State coach himself, Danny Sprinkle, who had an amazing season.
Sprinkle?
Yeah, that's his name, Danny Sprinkle. And he was the coach of the year. Look, he led Utah State. They won the regular season championship. They came out of nowhere. They weren't picked even any higher than 7th or 8th place. So he had a really nice season coaching. And Danny Sprinkle said that if Darius Brown is not player of the year, I will never vote in these awards again. Now, that's what he said about his own player. Well, guess what? He's never going to vote again then because
he didn't win it.
He didn't win it. His other player won it. And so that's where I doubly have a problem, Tony. Even the Utah State coach came out and said that Osabor wasn't the best player. He felt the other kid was the better player, yet the coaches still voted for Osabor. I don't know. The only thing I can say is coaches shouldn't be doing these voting awards because they just don't put enough time and effort into it.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, by hearing that, I hadn't heard that. So there is at least 3 people that, at least the coaches were trying to decide between in terms of that. The media though sees it one way. If I'm not mistaken, Ledee is the only All American in the conference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot that I think they got wrong here. Obviously, Ledee I didn't think it was all that close. And maybe it's because I watch San Diego State on a weekly basis that I feel that way. And not watching Utah State play only outside of the 2 games in which they played against San Diego State. Now, certainly great. What's his last name again?
Osabor.
Osabor. He certainly had himself some games against the Aztecs, but... I was shocked to see that Jaden Ledee didn't win the player.
I mean, I compare it a lot to the AP and the coaches poll in college football. You know, the AP, the writers do it. 90% of the writers put their heart and soul into their ballots and take it very seriously. Coaches in the college football voting normally have their media relations directors do it for them. Because coaches are the worst people to ask. Why? They're focused on their own team. They're focused on their own game. Steve Alford doesn't have time to watch Utah State play New Mexico. He's got a game to get ready for. So why should Steve Alford be voting on the player of the year? The only time he sees those guys play is when they play his team. And so I don't think he's a good judge. I shouldn't pick on Alford, but it's just natural for me to do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the guy you like picking on most.
Yeah, right. That's just a natural reaction. But, you know, the coaches, I mean, they clearly got this totally wrong. There was another instance in the coaches' poll that was really crazy. They had 2 players who were up for freshman of the year, and they were far and above the rest. One was JT Toppin of New Mexico, and the other was the guard, Jaden, and I can't remember his last name, Thomas from UNLV. And both of them were, the freshmen. Both of them were heads and, shoulders above all the rest of the freshmen. Well, there are 11 coaches, right, Tony?
Yeah.
There's an uneven number of coaches. Yet, the coaches announced that the vote ended in a tie between Toppin and how did that happen?
Yeah, because someone said, oh, you know what? We wanted to tie it, so you can take my vote off because I won't vote.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, nobody's wondering how
the math isn't mathing there. So, I mean, that's the only thing that could happen, right? Is that
here's the other thing that Ziegler brought up. Mark Ziegler brought this up. Coaches are not allowed to vote for their own players. So maybe the UNLV coach did not vote for Toppin of New Mexico and voted for somebody else. Or maybe the New Mexico coach didn't vote for the other kid so that his guy would win. And in doing so, they created a tie. So we'll never know. But the whole thing, to me, the coach's vote is a sham. And one last thing, the coach's poll did vote Lamont Butler as the defensive player of the year, whereas the media did not vote Lamont Butler as the defensive player of the year. So you could be critical of the media for that one, but I think Lamont Butler's as good a defender as there is in basketball. So, you know, I think he's deserving of every honor he gets. Yeah. But it still doesn't change the fact that the coach's MVP vote and freshman votes just made no sense.
How often does that happen? That it's this
often. Ziegler said it happens often.
Huh?
Ziegler said it happens quite often in that league that the coaches and the media end up with a different player. But in this year, it didn't seem like they should have. The only last thing I'll say to you, Jaden Ledee, if you're out there, because you were amazing all year long and you deserved all of the honors that you got and you deserve some of the honors you did not get. The only thing I will tell you is that in 2011, Jimmer Fredette won Player of the Year over Kawhi Leonard. And how did that turn out?
Well, Jimmer Fredette got to play a great career in China.
he's still balling out there. I know he's still overseas playing. That's as far as I know.
Yeah.
Though.
So, you know, don't take these awards to heart in that regard. You know, I think Jaden Ledee still has a great future ahead of him, of course. So, anyway, it was a little crazy. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Alden Gonzalez will join us. He is a great baseball guy. You know that from ESPN. Covers the Padres, covers the Dodgers. We'll check in with him next on Gwynn and Chris.
Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris LMS Gravy. You know, I think we would do very well in a show where you can kind of like do or say whatever you want. The most interesting topics come up during the break. Apparently,
they really do.
Apparently,
I mean, the show is very good. Let's not kill our own show. Our show is really good, but
it's not for our
show. It takes another step up in the break sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Scraby apparently spent a lot of time on his show yesterday talking about Kate Middleton and this whole Picturegate fiasco.
Well, they released another picture today, and the bricks in the car don't match with the bricks outside.
Why
of the
are
car.
Bricks in the car?
Because it's a picture of basically the back of her head, and you see through the windows, and so it's against a brick wall. But then when you look up above the car, outside of the car, the bricks are completely different. So you tell me how this happens.
Yeah, no,
the queen is missing. The queen is missing.
The
queen is missing.
The queen has passed
away.
Well,
she's about to be the queen. She's about to be the queen.
Chris has all the answers, by the way, everybody.
Barely so.
I don't.
Alden is going to join us here shortly. Talk a little Padre baseball. I saw Alden actually at the Padres camp. And what's interesting is we were just talking. I can't remember exactly what we were talking about, but he was like, he looked down at his phone. He goes, did you request me on the show today? Am I coming on your show today? I think that's what he asked me. I was like, I'm not sure. Are you? He's all,
there you go.
Yeah, well, you got a request. Do you want me on your show? I was like, yeah, we want you on our show. 240.
We'll
I was like,
if that, on our show.
I was like, if that's what it says, then yes, 240. Apparently, Scraby had gotten to it before. I actually had a chance to ask him about it. So
gives people a good idea of the great communication that we have on this program.
Well, if we're going to pull the curtain back, I would say that sometimes I just text on behalf of you guys and say that you guys asked. But, you know, it's nicer when it comes from you guys rather than me. So that's what
so basically we almost got caught in a lie because I was standing right there with him, and he asked me if I knew anything about it, and I was like, I'm not sure.
At least it's a nice lie.
Is Alden ready? Is he with us?
No, I have to call him one more time.
Okay. We have to call him one more time, so he didn't answer the first time. By the way, Padres, D-backs in the sixth, 2-2 ball game now.
Okay.
Looks like the Diamondbacks were able to put together some runs. Look, I did see a triple. Who was that? Was it Jake McClintock?
McCarthy, I believe.
McCarthy, I can't remember. Somebody had a triple.
I did see a clip of the Jackson Merrill two-run home run off Zach Gallen, though, Tony. It was. It looked like a fastball that was kind of center cut, but it was down around the knees. And he just went down and jacked it, a high, majestic drive over the left center field fence, hit it the other way. So, very impressive shot by Jackson Merrill today.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of things that I think everybody can get excited about. I mean, we talked about it. You need some of these young guys to step in and do their thing. Certainly Jackson has done that. You know, Azokar's had a really good camp, too. I'm not sure what his role is going to be, if it's going to be the same as last year. Maybe at least early him and maybe Profar platoon a little bit. I'm not sure, but he's shown well here so far. I think we now have Alden Gonzalez, ESPN, with us here. Alden, how are you? Not that long ago, I was just finding out we were doing an interview today.
Yeah, and here I am.
You've been to a camp at an earlier point this year. You're back at it again. You're looking at this Padre ball club, Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
Has pretty much locked up that center field position. By the way he's performed at camp, it seems like the Padres are more than willing to let him go out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw him take Zach Gallen deep to the opposite field. Looked pretty good. Second home run in as many days. Interestingly enough, I talked to a scout at the game today who had been following the Padres around for a while. And I know this sounds like hyperbole, and I don't want to get people like all excited, but he literally told me, he's like, everybody's talking about Jackson Holliday, but Jackson Merrill is the one who looks super locked in right now. He told me that his defense in center field has been fine. He's been fine. Passable.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
I mean, you can't expect more than that from a guy who's literally never played the position. But his bat is what's very intriguing. And look, I mean, who knows what will happen when the lights come on. But if you were looking for positive signs from a guy who, based on your depth chart, you need to take on that role, I don't think the Padres could have asked for anything more.
You know, Alden, I've been looking at this Padre club with a crooked glance all spring, just because, you know, they're going to be relying on so many unproven guys when the opening day bell rings. But the more we've seen these guys, I mean, you know, we just talked about Jackson, but Graham Pauly's looked good. Tyler Wade has looked good. And, you know, some of these young guys have really, really performed well, as Azokar. And I started thinking, in the last few years, and I think you'd probably have a better handle on this, but it seems to me in the last few years, younger guys are making bigger impacts earlier than they ever have before. And I wonder what you think the reason for that is, and whether you think, you know, the Padres might be okay with a bunch of unproven guys.
Well, I think no organization is more emblematic of trusting young players before other people think they're ready than the Padres. We saw it with Tatis. We saw it with Chris Paddock. I believe it was the same spring. We're seeing that with Jackson Merrill. We might eventually see that with Ethan Salas. Like, they're not shy. I was in Florida before I came out to Arizona. And I hadn't been in the Orioles clubhouse for a while. And I saw Jackson Holliday. And he looked 12 years old to me. Like, I couldn't believe how young he looked. but he plays like a grown-up. And he's going to be the Orioles' everyday second baseman. He might vie for the Rookie of the Year, just like Gunnar Henderson did and just like Adley Rutschman did before him. I think big picture, and Tony could speak to this, but I just think it is true that guys are ready sooner. I think a lot of that has to do with the resources that are available at the amateur level, even right now. Kids play, and this is a good and a bad thing, but kids play baseball year-round. Parents specialize their kids in baseball at an early age. Like, there are kids in this country are getting, like, very advanced training, going to, like, really expensive showcases, and they're getting basically built to be ready sooner. Some of that's just natural evolution. I've always been one to vouch for kids playing different sports because I just think it's better for development in general. But when you're talking about being ready to play in the big leagues, the kids who are already talented and have resources now that kids even 10 years before them didn't have, yeah, it's going to lead to a lot more 20, 21, 22-year-olds coming up and being ready.
Yeah, it's not just baseball either. Chris, you and I talk about it in football. These guys come into the NFL more ready than ever at the wide receiver position or some of these other skill positions that it used to be they take a little bit of time to develop. You're seeing that really across all sports. Alden Gonzalez joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Alden, you've been all over the place. You're in Florida. I know you got something coming down the pipeline with a Yankee, and then I know you've been over to the evil empire over there Camelback Mountain over there. They also are incorporating some new talent, some pretty good talent. There seem to have been some question in terms of Yoshinobu, in terms of him tipping pitches. How did that ever turn out to be anything over there?
It's interesting because I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Tony, but I think that there's a lot more of an emphasis on looking for pitchers tipping in the United States in Major League Baseball specifically than there might be in Japan. I read some of those comments when that first surfaced with Yamamoto, and I think it was the broadcast, the Dodgers broadcast, that picked it up. At this point, I wouldn't be concerned because, like, if you're catching it early like this, to me, it means that it's pretty easily corrected.
Yeah.
And I would think that he will correct that. I think the bigger story with Yamamoto right now is, like he's been wowing people on the Dodgers, like, since the beginning. Like, it's the stuff. Like the way that forcing fastball seems to ride, the darting action on that splitter, like how deceptive it is when he flips this 12-6 curveball at you, like every once in a while, the efficiency of the delivery, like it's stunning that a guy that size, like he is my size. I am not a big person. Okay. He has basically what amounts to a slide step. The fact that he can generate that type of velocity with a delivery as efficient as his, that's what I think is the most impressive about Yamamoto so far. I can't wait to see him pitch against Major League competition because Mike Colaifenga with the Mets, I think he's going to be really good right away.
Mm.
Alden Gonzalez is with us from ESPN talking some baseball here. And Alden, I was absolutely ecstatic to see a Dodger highlight clip yesterday and maybe the day before. But it was a spring training game, and the guy on the other team hit a high pop-up into the infield between shortstop and second base, and Mookie Betts looked at Gavin Lux, and Gavin Lux looked at Mookie Betts, and the ball just dropped right there on the infield, and Dave Roberts was flabbergasted to a certain point in the dugout. My point is, what is going to happen with this Dodger defense? I mean, Gavin Lux was supposed to be shortstop. He's gone to second. Can Mookie really get it done at short? Is that enough to short a bit of the, you know, the powerhouse that is the Dodgers?
It can be. I mean, look, right now, it's a problem. It's not ideal. The Dodgers went into last season with, they were going to give Gavin Lux the runway to be their everyday shortstop. Remember, they passed on Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, and Carlos Correa, and on Dansby Swanson, because they were going to give the reins to Gavin Lux. I think what they've shown, though, is they're not messing around this year. Like, They're in it to win a championship this year and nothing else. And you could say that to some extent about every year, but it's different now. You spend more than $1 billion on a couple of free agents. It's different. So the first sign that Gavin Lux was chucking throws and he wasn't accurate, they switched them. And to me, that's very telling. And it's also in some ways a little troubling. Like, look, not to discount anything from Mookie Betts, who's one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life. You can't just start playing shortstop, though. Like, will he be adequate at short? Sure. Is he going to be great there? I mean, I think it would be unfair to have any expectation like that. And, yeah, there's some very serious concern on the Dodger infield right now. Max Muncy doesn't have the most range. Mookie Betts doesn't have any real experience at shortstop. You told him he was going to be playing second base. You had him prepare to play second base all offseason through the early part of spring training. Now all of a sudden, okay, go to shortstop. I do wonder if they're probably trying to add a shortstop.
Yeah.
Would they be hesitant to do that so quickly? Because now you got to tell Mookie Betts again that he's switching to the other position. You don't want to mess with a star player like that. And look, Gavin Lux, like, every time Gavin Lux has throwing issues, they bring up, like, the potential yips. He said he doesn't have the yips. He said he's coming off ACL surgery. He's trying to get his feet under him, and it might be something of a mechanical thing. I can buy that. But I can also see how stuff like this can snowball on players. And so it's kind of a wait-and-see thing. The Dodgers might be so talented that they could overcome that, but it's not great. It's not what they wanted, and, like, it's kind of a rare instance where, like, their front office seems to be sort of caught on its heels here a little bit.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often. Alden Gonzalez joins us. Last one for me, Alden. The Padres did trade Juan Soto to the New York Yankees. He's having a monster spring so far. But it does seem like there's some of the old ghosts are still around in that camp. All of a sudden, Gerrit Cole needs an MRI.
Yeah.
He's unlikely to pitch an opening day. You got Aaron Judge, who's still dealing with he just had a clean MRI, but he's still dealing with some aches and pains. I mean, is this team going to be able to stay healthy? I mean, I haven't heard anything about Giancarlo. I'm assuming he's been healthy so far this spring. Is this team going to be able to stay healthy? That seems to be the thing that bites them every single season.
And it's a legitimate concern, Tony, because when you're talking about just sort of like the ages of the players that they're relying so heavily on, like, what more troubling news could there be at this state of camp that Gerrit Cole, who is their first, second, and third best starting pitcher in that rotation,
right,
is now, there's some concerns there. And Aaron Judge, too. I mean, don't forget that the makeup of this team going into the season, because you need to give Giancarlo Stanton all that DH time because you're paying him so much money, had Aaron Judge playing center field.
You're right.
They needed Aaron Judge to be a quasi everyday center fielder for them in order to make it work with Verdugo and Soto and Stanton in the same lineup, which is their preference on both days. Aaron Judge, by the way, coming off turf toe, coming off that toe injury when he banged up against the wall at Dodger Stadium. Aaron Judge, the most important member of your lineup. He's 32 years old right now. Like, that's kind of a precarious position. And, like, he might end up being fine. But I think the news out of Yankee camp let you know that for all the...
Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris LMS Gravy. You know, I think we would do very well in a show where you can kind of like do or say whatever you want. The most interesting topics come up during the break. Apparently,
they really do.
Apparently,
I mean, the show is very good. Let's not kill our own show. Our show is really good, but
it's not for our.
It takes another step up in the break sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Scraby apparently spent a lot of time on his show yesterday talking about Kate Middleton and this whole Picturegate fiasco.
Well, they released another picture today, and the bricks in the car don't match with the bricks outside.
Why
of the
are
car.
Bricks in the car?
Because it's a picture of the back of her head, and you see through the windows, and so it's against a brick wall. But then when you look up above the car, outside of the car, the bricks are completely different. So you tell me how this happens.
Yeah, no.
The queen is missing. The queen is missing.
The queen
is missing.
The queen has passed away.
Well, she's about to be the queen. It's about to be the queen.
Chris has all the answers, by the way, everybody.
Barely so.
I don't.
Not Kate
Middleton.
Is going to join us here shortly. Talk a little Padre baseball. I saw Alden actually at the Padres camp. And what's interesting is we were just talking. I can't remember exactly what we were talking about, but he was like, he looked down at his phone. He goes, Did you request me on the show today? Am I coming on your show today? I think that's what he asked me. I was like, I'm not sure. Are you? He's all,
there you go.
Yeah, well, you got a request. Do you want me on your show? I was like, yeah, we want you on our show. 240.
I
was like,
if
that's what it says, then yes, 240. Apparently, Scraby had gotten to it before. I actually had a chance to ask him about it. So
gives people a good idea of the great communication that we have on this program.
Well, if we're going to pull the curtain back, I would say that sometimes I just text on behalf of you guys and say that you guys asked, but you know, it's nicer when it comes from you guys rather than me. So that's what
so basically we almost got caught in a lie because I was standing right there with him, and he asked me if I knew anything about it, and I was like, I'm not sure.
At least it's
a good lie.
It's a good, it's a nice lie.
Is Alden ready? Is he with us?
No, I have to call him one more time.
Okay. We have to call him one more time, so he didn't answer the first time. By the way, Padres, D-backs in the sixth, 2-2 ball game now.
Okay.
Looks like the Diamondbacks were able to put together some runs. Look, I did see a triple. Who was that? Was it Jake McClintock?
McCarthy,
I mean. I can't remember. Somebody had a triple.
I did see a clip of the Jackson Merrill two-run home run off Zach Gallen, though, Tony. It was. It looked like a fastball that was kind of center cut, but it was down around the knees. And he just went down and jacked it, a high, majestic drive over the left center field fence, hit it the other way. So, very impressive shot by Jackson Merrill today.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of things that I think everybody can get excited about. I mean, we talked about it. You need some of these young guys to step in and do their thing. Certainly Jackson has done that. You know, Azokar's had a really good camp, too. I'm not sure what his role is going to be, if it's going to be the same as last year. Maybe at least early him and maybe Profar platoon a little bit. I'm not sure, but he's shown well here so far. I think we now have Alden Gonzalez, ESPN, with us here. Alden, how are you? Not that long ago, I was just finding out we were doing an interview today.
Yeah, and here I am.
You've been to a camp at an earlier point this year. You're back at it again. You're looking at this Padre ball club, Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
Has pretty much locked up that center field position. By the way he's performed at camp, it seems like the Padres are more than willing to let him go out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw him take Zach Gallen deep to the opposite field. Looked pretty good. Second home run in as many days. Interestingly enough, I talked to a scout at the game today who had been following the Padres around for a while. And I know this sounds like hyperbole, and I don't want to get people like all excited, but he literally told me, he's like, everybody's talking about Jackson Holliday, but Jackson Merrill is the one who looks super locked in right now. He told me that his defense in center field has been fine. He's been fine, passable, I mean, you can't expect more than that from a guy who's literally never played the position. But his bat is what's very intriguing. And look, I mean, who knows what will happen when the lights come on. But if you were looking for positive signs from a guy who, based on your depth chart, you need to take on that role, I don't think the Padres could have asked for anything more.
You know, Alden, I've been looking at this Padre club with a crooked glance all spring, just because, you know, they're going to be relying on so many unproven guys when the opening day bell rings. But the more we've seen these guys, I mean, you know, we just talked about Jackson, but Graham Pauly's looked good. Tyler Wade has looked good. And, you know, some of these young guys have really, really performed well, Azokar. And I started thinking, in the last few years, and I think you'd probably have a better handle on this, but it seems to me in the last few years, younger guys are making bigger impacts earlier than they ever have before. And I wonder what you think the reason for that is, and whether you think, you know, the Padres might be okay with a bunch of unproven guys.
Well, I think no organization is more emblematic of trusting young players before other people think they're ready than the Padres. We saw it with Tatis. We saw it with Chris Paddock. I believe it was the same spring. We're seeing that with Jackson Merrill. We might eventually see that with Ethan Salas. Like, they're not shy. But yeah, I was in Florida before I came out to Arizona. And I hadn't been in the Orioles clubhouse for a while. And I saw Jackson Holliday. And he looked 12 years old to me. Like, I couldn't believe how young he looked. But he plays like a grown-up. And he's going to be the Orioles' everyday second baseman. He might vie for the Rookie of the Year, just like Gunnar Henderson did, and just like Adley Rutschman did before him. I think big picture, and Tony could speak to this, but I just think it is true that guys are ready sooner. I think a lot of that has to do with the resources that are available at the amateur level, even right now. Kids play, and this is a good and a bad thing, but kids play baseball year-round. Parents specialize their kids in baseball at an early age. Like, there are kids in this country are getting, like, very advanced training, going to, like, really expensive showcases, and they're getting basically built to be ready sooner. Some of that's just natural evolution. I've always been one to vouch for kids playing different sports because I just think it's better for development in general. But when you're talking about being ready to play in the big leagues, the kids who are already talented and have resources now that kids even 10 years before them didn't have, yeah, it's going to lead to a lot more 20, 21, 22-year-olds coming up and being ready.
Yeah, it's not just baseball either. Chris, you and I talk about it in football. These guys come into the NFL more ready than ever. At the wide receiver position or some of these other skill positions that it used to be they take a little bit of time to develop. You're seeing that really across all sports. Alden Gonzalez joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Alden, you've been all over the place. You're in Florida. I know you got something coming down the pipeline with a Yankee. And then I know you've been over to the evil empire over there and off of Camelback Mountain over there. They also are incorporating some new talent, some pretty good talent. There seem to have been, some question in terms of Yoshinoba, in terms of him tipping pitches. How did that ever turn out to be anything over there?
It's interesting because I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Tony, but I think that there's a lot more of an emphasis on looking for pitchers tipping in the United States in Major League Baseball specifically than there might be in Japan. I read some of those comments when that first surfaced with Yamamoto, and I think it was the Dodgers broadcast that picked it up. At this point, I wouldn't be concerned because, like, if you're catching it early like this, to me, it means that it's pretty easily corrected.
Yeah,
I would think that he will correct that. I think the bigger story with Yamamoto right now is like he's been wowing people on the Dodgers like since the beginning. Like, it's the stuff, like the way that forcing fastball seems to ride, the darting action on that splitter, like how deceptive it is when he flips this 12-6 curveball at you like every once in a while. The efficiency of the delivery, like, it's stunning that a guy that size, like, he is my size. I am not a big person, okay? He has basically what amounts to a slide step. The fact that he could generate that type of velocity with a delivery as efficient as his, that's what I think is the most impressive about Yamamoto so far. I can't wait to see him pitch against Major League competition because Mike Colaifenga with the Mets, I think he's going to be really good right away.
Mm.
Alden Gonzalez is with us from ESPN talking some baseball here. And Alden, I was absolutely ecstatic to see a Dodger highlight clip yesterday and maybe the day before. But it was a spring training game, and the guy on the other team hit a high pop-up into the infield between shortstop and second base. And Mookie Betts looked at Gavin Lux, and Gavin Lux looked at Mookie Betts, and the ball just dropped right there on the infield. And Dave Roberts was flabbergasted to a certain point in the dugout. My point is, What is going to happen with this Dodger defense? I mean, Gavin Lux was supposed to be shortstop. He's gone to second. Can Mookie really get it done at short? Is that enough to short a bit of the, you know, the powerhouse that is the Dodgers?
It can be. I mean, look, right now, it's a problem. It's not ideal. The Dodgers went into last season with, they were going to give Gavin Lux the runway to be their everyday shortstop. Remember, they passed on Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, and Carlos Correa, and on Dansby Swanson, because they were going to give the reins to Gavin Lux. I think what they've shown, though, is they're not messing around this year. Like, they're in it to win a championship this year and nothing else. And you could say that to some extent about every year, but it's different now. You spend more than $1 billion on a couple of free agents, it's different. So the first sign that Gavin Lux was chucking throws and he wasn't accurate, they switched them. And to me, that's very telling. And it's also in some ways a little troubling. Like, look, not to discount anything from Mookie Betts, who's one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life. You can't just start playing shortstop, though. Like, will he be adequate at short? Sure. Is he going to be great there? I mean, I think it would be unfair to have any expectation like that. And, yeah, there's some very serious concern on the Dodger infield right now. Max Muncy doesn't have the most range. Mookie Betts doesn't have any real experience at shortstop. You told him he was going to be playing second base. You had him prepare to play second base all offseason through the early part of spring training. Now all of a sudden, okay, go to shortstop. I do wonder if they're probably trying to add a shortstop.
Yeah.
Would they be hesitant to do that so quickly? Because now you got to tell Mookie Betts again that he's switching to the other position. You don't want to mess with a star player like that. And look, Gavin Lux, like, every time Gavin Lux has throwing issues, they bring up, like, the potential yips. He said he doesn't have the yips. He said he's coming off ACL surgery. He's trying to get his feet under him, and it might be something of a mechanical thing. I can buy that. But I can also see how stuff like this can snowball on players. And so it's kind of a wait-and-see thing. The Dodgers might be so talented that they could overcome that, but it's not great. It's not what they wanted, and, like, it's kind of a rare instance where, like, their front office seems to be sort of caught on its heels here a little bit.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often. Alden Gonzalez joins us. Last one for me, Alden. The Padres did trade Juan Soto to the New York Yankees. He's having a monster spring so far. But it does seem like there's some of the old ghosts are still around in that camp. All of a sudden, Gerrit Cole needs an MRI. He's unlikely to pitch an opening day. You got Aaron Judge, who's still dealing with he just had a clean MRI, but he's still dealing with some aches and pains. I mean, is this team going to be able to stay healthy? I mean, I haven't heard anything about Giancarlo. I'm assuming he's been healthy so far this spring. Is this team going to be able to stay healthy? That seems to be the thing that bites them every single season.
And it's a legitimate concern, Tony, because when you're talking about just sort of like the ages of the players that they're relying so heavily on, like, what more troubling news could there be at this state of camp that Gerrit Cole, who is their first, second, and third best starting pitcher in that rotation, is now, there's some concerns there. And Aaron Judge, too. I mean, don't forget that the makeup of this team going into the season, because you need to give Giancarlo Stanton all that DH time because you're paying him so much money, had Aaron Judge playing center field.
You're right.
They needed Aaron Judge to be a quasi everyday center fielder for them in order to make it work with Verdugo and Soto and Stanton in the same lineup, which is their preference on both days. Aaron Judge, by the way, coming off turf toe, coming off that toe injury when he banged up against the wall at Dodger Stadium. Aaron Judge, the most important member of your lineup. He's what, 32 years old right now? Like, that's kind of a precarious position. And, like, he might end up being fine. But I think the news out of Yankee camp lets you know that for all the expectations they're carrying into this season, and people legitimately felt really good about their roster coming in, they are, it's just so fragile. Because if Gerrit Cole has to miss time, if Aaron Judge has to miss time, and you saw what their lineup looked like without Aaron Judge for such a time last year, it could all fall apart for them. It really could.
Real quick, Alden, I think we have a minute or so left, but is it possible that in the end, the Padres got so much pitching that they could almost win or even break even in the Juan Soto trade?
It is possible. I like the arms that they got. I think they feel good about the arms that they got. They're not going to win the Juan Soto trade in 2024. I can tell you that. If Juan Soto stays healthy, I expect him to contend for the MVP. And for as promising as the arms are in the Padres, for the Padres that the Padres got back, I have concerns about their rotation. I have concerns about who's going to lock down innings for them in 2024. You can't expect all those guys to be ready to make the jump to a big league rotation full time. They need starting pitching. But having said that, they did what they needed to do. If they weren't going to re-sign Juan Soto, they can't fit him in their payroll. If he wasn't going to be willing to stay in San Diego anyway, and they needed to get to their payroll to a certain point, and they had all these starting pitching holes that they needed to fill, I think if you evaluate it from that context, they did just fine. But in the immediate, it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt every time you see Juan Soto winning player of the month or whatever he's going to do in a Yankee uniform this year.
Yep, no doubt about it. There may be some growing pains, but in the end, I think the Padres did what they had to do. Alden, appreciate you coming on, man. Season's kicks off in about a week, right? No. So week in a couple days, I believe it is, 19th?
Eight
no,
days.
Week, exactly.
8 days.
8 days, okay. Sorry, my math isn't that
good. You'll be in South Korea before you know it, man.
I know, tomorrow or the next day. We'll see. Yeah, Alden, we'll take you. Right. Appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Alden Gonzalez, ESPN there. We got to get the break, 3 o'clock hour on the way. Little Daily Gambit. Mark, Winnie, Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.